about a great victory. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. And God, I thank you for just this day that we have to come and praise you today, Father, for the day that we have to come and hear your word. I thank you that we are able to come in freedom, Father. Lord, I ask that you just give us a heart to hear and ears to receive your word today, Father. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Today, my message is entitled, The Power of Not Quitting.
Amen. Good word.
It is good. I will admit, at 8:15 this morning, it was good to me. The backstory of Shammah is this, is Shammah was one of David's mighty men, and he's got this small little portion of the Bible, and he was this ordinary pea farmer, what people would call a peasant, and he was out in the field one day, and he was, you know, he had his little rake, his little hoe, it was probably held together with, back in the day, duct tape or string, you know, what they did back then, and I'm sure that it was probably about to fall apart. And he was standing in his field along with the rest of the farmers and just going about his daily business, and all of a sudden he looked up and he saw hundreds of Philistines. Hundreds of Philistines, not one, but he saw hundreds of them. And at that moment, the rest of the farmers, I would imagine if I was sitting there, began to look at each other, and they had a decision to make. And that was, do we stay here and defend peace, or do we leave? Like, are we going to stay here and defend peace? Like, for what? Yeah. Or do we leave and save our own life?
Come on, that's good.
Well, you know what they did was they said, goodbye, Shammah. And they left him on his own. And Shammah said, today's not the day that I'm going to quit. Because there is something on the inside of me. And I know that God has given me a destiny that I don't need to leave today. I know that it looks stupid for me to stand here and defend these peas. But I'm going to defend them no matter how dumb I look. And he said, you can look at me and think I'm dumb. And y'all can go and talk about me whenever you leave here and say, and God, start digging my grave.
Come on.
But guess what? I'm staying. Yes. You leave, but I'm staying because God's given me a destiny and I have a word and I am not going to go back on that word. So Shammah took his little ragtag hoe that was held together with a string and he slayed that Philistine army that was coming at him and he didn't back down.
Woo.
One person.
One
person. And we can't stand and fight for our marriages. Okay, come on. We can't stand and fight when it gets hard. We can't stand whenever what he was fighting for didn't make any sense. But what we fight for makes sense. It makes complete sense. Amen?
Amen?
So today I'm going to give you 4 points. Look, I already passed 4 pages of notes. And it wasn't even in there. I'm going to give you 4 points on how not to quit whenever it makes sense to quit. Because how many of you know that it made sense for Shammah to walk away and quit?
Amen.
It makes sense. He would have been validated and putting his hoe down and running. Right?
Yep.
He would have been validated to say, I give up. I'm not going to sit here over some peas and lose my life.
Right.
God would have had to come down in an audible voice for me to fight that battle.
Amen.
I would have had to know that I knew that I knew. So the first point is you need to identify the enemy. You need to identify the enemy that you are fighting. Why do you need to identify the enemy? It's because so often we're fighting against something that is not truly the enemy. We are fighting against family that's not the enemy. We're fighting and projecting onto people who have done nothing wrong. When if we would just step back and seek godly counsel, and get on our knees and just pray and allow God to do something inside of us, God would show us what needed to change in our life and who the true enemy was. But we're so busy fighting the wrong enemy because we think it's easier. Do you know it takes more energy to fight the wrong enemy than it does to surrender to God? It takes so much more energy to fight a battle that you should not be fighting than it does to surrender. Stop fighting against somebody or against the battle that you should not be fighting against. You need to identify your enemy. Identify. Seek godly counsel. So often, whenever you're in battle and you're fighting the enemy puts blinders on your eyes. He makes you see things that aren't really there. He lies to you. He makes you get offended really easily over things you shouldn't be getting offended about. Because he wants to create division and he wants to divide you from the spiritual people that are in your life.
Amen.
If you're surrounding yourself and people that are saying, leave your husband, they are the wrong people in your life. If you're surrounding people that are speaking negatively into your life, they are your enemy. I'm sorry, I'm just going to tell it like it is, but they are trying to draw the line of division between you and what God has for your life. You need to surround yourself in the people that God has placed in your life that are going to say things that you don't necessarily want to hear. They're going to step on your toes, just like me this morning. I'm sorry you can get the Band-Aids on the way out, but I'm not here today to make you feel good. Today I'm here to make you change your life. Because God has a better life for you. He has a better marriage for you. He has a better child-parent relationship for you.
Yes.
He has a better life for you than what everybody is living. But we have to identify our enemy. We have to identify our enemy and stop fighting against each other. We have to see that division that the enemy's trying to place in our life. Because if he could cut off that life support between the spiritual people in your life, he's going to do it. And if he can surround you in the negative people that say, you better leave that man. You better leave that man. He's going to do it because you want to hear what you want to hear. Or eat that donut. You better eat that ice cream, girl. You're having a bad day. Let's go get a piece of chocolate cake. Somebody told me that the other day. I was like, nah, devil, you a liar. We ain't eating cake today. We're going to go run. Because I'm like Josh. I'm not eating them donuts. So the first thing is identify your enemy. The second thing is stop letting fear rule your mind. In 2 Timothy 1:7, which is one of my most favorite verses that I constantly use over and over in my mind, is that God has not given us a spirit of power, of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. If the enemy can place fear in your mind about a battle that you are facing, he has won. If he tells you that you get a bad diagnosis and you're going to die, look, you can get a scratch and the devil's going to tell you you're going to die.
Yeah.
I'm serious. He can blow it up so much to that point that you're going to die. And you begin to believe that, you've taken ownership of that. And you're going to die. If you feel like you're going to fail, and he puts that thought in your mind and that fear in your mind of failure, guess what? You take ownership of that failure and you just over and over in your mind, I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail. Guess what? You failed. You failed. If you're sitting here and the battle is your past and all you think about was the past and how you messed up, and the enemy just wants to beat you down and beat you down over your past. And he just keeps bringing it up, bringing it up. You're not worthy. You're not worthy of what God has brought you through. Guess what? You're still chained to your past. Because the God that I serve says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that past is gone. Right? When you get set free and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you're free and that past is no longer there. Right?
Amen.
Those chains are broken. But if that fear of failure or people finding out what you did whenever you were younger or what God set you free of is sitting there and you're going, oh, but what if they find out? So what? Guess what? They may have done something worse. Or guess what? Maybe they were suicidal and they need to hear that you almost took your life. And you just saved theirs.
Amen.
What if you broke free of the power of fear over your life. Stop living in fear. And everybody suffers with fear at some point. You can act all super spiritual and say that you've conquered it, but the devil is a liar. Because at some point, the enemy is going to try to pull you down with fear. And you have got to break free of it. Every time you grow to a new spiritual level, because as Christians, we are constantly growing. If you're not growing, you've become stagnant. And as a Christian, we should always be striving to be better. If you reach one point, it's not good enough. I want more, God. I want more of you. Where I'm at right now, it's not good enough. God, give me more. I want to be like Shama, that I'm fighting over some stupid peas. I want people to look at me and say, she's so stupid. Okay, yeah, you think I'm dumb, but man, God gave me a vision. And I know that that vision was that I'm going to fight over peas, but God's called me to be one of David's three mighty men. And this right here is just a test. And I'm showing myself faithful by looking stupid. Sometimes you have to look stupid. But it's worth it. Stop living in fear. Stop living in fear. Identify your enemy and stop living in fear. And number three is stop focusing on yourself.
Good word.
Shama could have had the biggest pity party of his life when he looked around and he saw nobody was standing with him when he went into battle. He could have been like, where's all my boys at? Where's everybody at that's supposed to be fighting with me? But Shama didn't. You want to know why? He was too busy. He couldn't even look to see who was standing with him. Because he had too much coming at him, and he was too focused on what was ahead of him and what was coming at him, that he didn't care who was standing around him. Because he knew that God was with him. He knew that God was for him, and what God had called him to do, that he didn't care who was standing with him. And sometimes when you go into battle, you are going to stand alone. You're not going to have people standing there. You're going to look at friends and they're not friends anymore.
That's right.
Because you're fighting over a pea patch. And they're going, that is so stupid. Or because you just said, I'm serving God, and they're saying, that life's not for me. And you're saying, I'm sorry, but that life is for me. And you can no longer hang out with the crowd that you were hanging out with anymore.
Amen.
You have to walk away sometimes from relationships to do what God's called you to do.
Amen.
You can't stay where you were. Because it's going to pull you back.
Amen.
Shama couldn't stay with the people that were running because he would have just started running. And he would have got scared because they would have talked to him and said, hey, Shama, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. If you stay there, those hundreds of the Philistine giants, not the giants, that's a different story. See, you can get away with that stuff in kids' church. All these soldiers are going to take you out. They would have just been negative, and he would have got his eyes off of the prize. And he said, you're not with me. Bye, Felicia. Get out. Go. If you don't want to do this, then we're done. Leave. I'll fight this battle alone. And if it means I have to die, I'm just going to die. The battle that you are facing is worth it. It is worth the fight that you're having to put up with. It is worth every tear that you cry. It is worth every single ounce of energy that you're having to put into it. Do you want to ask me why? Because I have been there. And I wouldn't be where I'm at had I not been on my knees, had I not cried and said, God, why are we going through this? Had I not fought battles, had I not continued to fight battles, but I'm here to tell you that God has been so faithful.
Yes!
God has been so faithful that when I thought that I was standing alone, God said, Amber, I got you.
Yes.
I got you. When we thought Josh was going to die, I got you.
Yes.
I got you. When we thought there was something wrong with Hudson, I got you.
Yes.
When we first got married and thought we were going to kill each other, I got you. When we had financial issues and were barely making it in minutes, you're faithful.
Right.
Money will come from other places because you're faithful. And that's what it is when you're in a battle. Faithful.
Yes.
Don't get your eyes off of what God's called you to do and what he's bringing you through. And see, that's what happens is you get your eyes off of what he's brought you through.
That's right.
You get so focused on what you're going through in that pity party. We get so focused on, why am I going through this? This is so hard. This is this and this is that. Nobody else has been through this and I'm all alone. And you know how it goes. That we lose sight of how faithful God has been. We lose sight of just how good God has been to us. And just how much he has brought us through and how much he has provided. And he's brought provision where we had no idea that it was even going to come. Where he brought healing, and we have reports that we were believing for a miracle and God was faithful.
Amen.
Where we won stuff and had no idea it was the bill that needed to be paid. We had $25 come in the mail and it was like, wow, $25. People think that's not a big deal, but to some people, if you get $25 in the mail, it's a big deal.
Amen.
But that's a reminder of God's faithfulness. You didn't have to have $25 come in the mail. You could have had a bill for $250. You know? The best thing you can do to stop being self-focused when you're in battle is to find somebody that's going through something. That is going to get your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes on God, and is going to help you help somebody else. When Josh and I have ever been in battle, as we constantly stay in battle, we have always said, we're not going to pray for ourselves to get out of this battle. We're going to pray for other people.
That's right.
We're going to get on our knees and we're going to fight somebody else's battle on our knees.
Amen.
We're going to pray for somebody else's marriage. We're going to pray for a breakthrough in somebody else's finances. We're going to pray for a breakthrough in somebody's healing. We're going to pray for somebody's relationship with their child.
Yes.
We're going to pray for somebody to be free of addiction.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be the same battle that you're fighting. It just needs to take your attention off of yourself.
Amen.
Because the more you're praying for somebody else, the more you're strengthening yourself.
Amen.
And the less you're focusing on what you're going through, and the more you're praying for somebody else. And then you just quit thinking about what you're going through. You just stop. Try. And then tell me I'm wrong if it doesn't work. That's a challenge. Tell me I'm wrong. You find somebody that's going through something, and you pray for them for 1 month. And tell me if it doesn't change your life. It will change your life. And from now on, when you go through a battle, you're going to do the same thing, because it's not fun to have a pity party. It feels good. It feels good to cry. It feels good to scream, you need to punch a wall, whatever. But that's just a temporary solution.
That's right.
It doesn't change things. You're just going to feel weak when you get done.
Yep.
Who wants to feel weak when you're in battle? I want to feel like Sean.
Yeah.
My last point is this, as the musicians are coming forward, is pick up your shovel and fight. You have already been given the tools to win. You just need to pick them up. So often when we're in battle or when we're going through something, we look at God and we say, God, why hasn't this changed? But what have you done? God is waiting for us to do our part so many times. He wants us to do our part, not just sit back and go, God, can you please just fix my marriage? Well, what have you done to help your marriage? Why are you still sitting on your phone? Like, come on. Show your husband or wife some attention. Why are you over there not putting your kids to bed at 12 o'clock at night whenever you need to be spending some time with your husband or wife? You want a miracle in your finances whenever you don't have a budget. You know, what part have you done for God to do the other part?
Amen.
You want all this stuff spiritually, but have you opened up your Bible? Like, when was the last time you prayed and spent time with God? You want this miracle, but you haven't even read the Word. Or better yet, when was the last time you came to church? Christmas? See, this is why Josh didn't give me the microphone. He told me, he said, can you please make sure that I have church come back to me? Okay, so y'all all need to come back here next Sunday. Or I might be in trouble. No, but really, sometimes you just need a reality check. And it is the truth. And that is, if you want God to do something big in your life, what role are you playing for Him to even move? Are you in the way? Are you not doing anything? What are you doing to help God? Now, don't be God. There's a difference. Don't be God, but you have to do your part. You have to do your part so that God can do His part. Because if you're doing your part, God is going to ordain your footsteps. He's going to give you wisdom unlike any other. If you're believing for a miracle in your marriage, He's going to say, Amber, put your phone down. Amber, be quiet. Now's not the time to talk. Now's the time to listen. And because I've spent time in the Word, God, I'm going to be more likely to be quiet versus barking back. You know how we get? Yes, women. I probably not going to get the microphone when he talks about marriage, so you know how we get, like little chihuahuas. We just keep right on barking. Because we got to get that point across. You just are so, you are less likely to keep on whenever you've spent time and you've done your part. Whenever you want that thing at the store, when you've done your part and you've made that budget, conviction sets in. Yep. And you're like, I probably don't need to spend that money. Yep. And you're more likely to hear the voice of God versus the flesh. Because the flesh wants to speak louder if you haven't been in the Word. You know what I mean? So as we're all standing, you know, everybody in here is facing something. Everybody is. Everybody's going through something. And today, I want to encourage you, don't quit. Don't give up. Be like Shama and take that raggedy old pick or hoe, whatever it was he had, and use what he's equipped you with to fight what you're facing. Go at the battle that you are facing. Recognize your enemy. Stop letting fear rule your mind. Stop focusing on yourself. And pick up your shovel. Pick up your hoe. Whatever it is you have that you want to pretend that you're fighting with. And fight that battle. Don't run. Face whatever it is that you're being hit with. God has given you those tools to face it. You know, life is hard as it is, but I cannot imagine facing life without God in my life. I've been through some things over my life, and I couldn't imagine going through it without God. And today, we've talked about battling. And I want to give everybody in this room, as we bow our head, the opportunity. If God is not a part of your life, and you've never asked God to come into your life, today is your day. Today is the day that you can meet the King of Kings. The person, the man that is going to equip you to fight the battles that you're facing. The person that is going to give you the power to be the person that you've been called to be. To have a destiny and a future and not feel hopeless. And if you don't know Him, I ask that you repeat, as all of us repeat this after me. Ask God to come into your heart and to be the Lord of your life. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm in need of a Savior. I ask that you come into my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for washing me and making me whole. Forgive me of all of my sins. I ask that you be the Lord of my life. Make me whole. Make me new. Lord, we thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Heaven is rejoicing if you made Jesus the Lord of your life today. It's the biggest party that is ever thrown whenever people come into his kingdom. And today, as we're leaving, we have the prayer team that's going to come forward.